Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is Lomas Brown, and you're talking sports with Randy, the Monster Jam Man.
Lomas just went in, well, it was now 2 years ago, College Football Hall of Fame, Florida Gator. He told us a story, a friend of mine, you know, used to play for the Bucks, that he still has the scholarship contract at Florida, and his dad refused to sign it.
Oh, wow.
Because he didn't want him to go to Florida. He wanted him to go to Miami.
Yeah. And so I'm guessing he wasn't 18 when he...
Well, his mom had to sign it, so... Okay. Yeah. How about that?
He played for Detroit, right?
Yeah, he did play for Detroit.
Still works for the front office there, Lovis Brown.
He does that. I think it's the radio.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I never understood that, like, as a parent. Like, that's not – your kid can't live your dream. Like, he has to live his dream.
Right.
You can't live through him. Like parents, like, when you see a guy pick a school and then the mom gets up and walks off.
Yeah, like, you see that in Alabama?
I'm just like, that's so corny, you know, to me.
But think of it this way. And hopefully nobody in my family is listening to this right now, okay?
I know.
No, believe me, I know. You know, they'll call in the middle of the show. What are you doing?
Yeah.
So I met my wife when I was in the Navy, and she was living in Connecticut. We got married. I moved her. We moved back home to Florida, okay? Living our lives, right? Well, my daughter has a boyfriend who it appears they will be moving at some point.
Wow.
And I'm like, maybe get a new boyfriend. You know, so I understand live your own life and stuff, but where do you have kids and it's like they go time to move away? It's like, no.
Yeah.
So, no. That didn't happen.
So I know you spent some time in Detroit. You played for the Lions.
Yeah.
One of my biggest, like, one of those things that, like, was surreal to me in my life was being at Media Row and walking up to my idol, who I think is a GOAT, Barry Sanders.
For sure.
Inviting him to come and do our radio show. And then having to... the disappointment of telling him that we didn't have time for him on the program because we made room for the Twins? Was it the...
No. What's this we?
Well, you?
We're not French. But you did this.
But I had to tell Barry Sanders that we had to bump him, that we didn't have time
Dang.
To put a GOAT. And so where do you stand on the Barry Sanders GOAT
Here's
status?
Here's the worst part. A, Knucklehead did all this. I put Barry Sanders on.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the Twins blow him off.
The Griffin twins
blow them off.
The hot thing that year.
Shaquille and Shaquem.
Yeah. You know, from Lakewood and, you know, from St. Pete. And so he blows off Barry Sanders. And then he gets blown off by the people who just.
Wow.
Yeah. What can I say?
It's the karma.
Yeah, it is.
And I had to tell, like, I got an idol. I mean, like, Barry, but where do you stand on the Barry Sanders, you know, greatness? So is he the greatest of all time? Was he the greatest of all time?
To me, my favorite running back I've ever watched. It's Adrian Peterson. I don't think that there's anybody in at their peak that was better runner than Adrian Peterson was. The speed,
well, Jim
the
Brown.
Aggressive. I didn't watch.
His.
I didn't watch Jim Brown. You know what I'm saying? Okay. That was like before my time, so right. I can't really. I know he's great, and I've seen highlights, but the stuff I saw Adrian Peterson tearing the ACL and 6 months later, almost breaking the record, in the rushing record that stood for 30 years, 2,000 yards after you tear an ACL. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So that's for me. That's my. But Barry Sanders, amazing. The stuff he did, like, amazing.
And John Lynch is still hating him. Did you ever see that video?
No.
When Barry shakes him out of his shoes, and literally out of his shoes, and he ran the rest of the way without shoes.
Wow.
You know, and Lynch is still picking up his underwear. It's like, well, you know, what just happened?
Yeah. No, he was different, man.
So who? What back are you thinking? You thinking Sanders?
The best of all time. Yeah. If he would have had a line. If he would have had a team.
Again,
I know,
if my dad had breasts, he'd be my mom.
Yes.
You can't say that.
Yes.
If the Bucks didn't do what they did to Bo Jackson, where would Bo Jackson be?
Yeah.
You know, if Steve Young would have stayed a Buck and didn't go out to San Fran.
Barry in the Cowboys uniform behind that line that Emmitt got the record with. I mean,
he would have. Okay, we can talk about that, right? So, which is why I don't always just go with just numbers. I like to go with, like, moments and captivation. Because I don't believe Emmitt Smith is a better runner, is the best running back to ever play. But he has the most yards.
Right.
Because he played behind three or four Hall of Famers and a bunch of all pros.
Right, you know?
So, like, he has a bunch of stats. And, like, don't get me wrong, he's still great. You know? Because, like, who am I to say a Hall of Famer isn't great, right? But, like, I think there's plenty of guys who are more talented runners than him. He was just in a perfect storm in a perfect situation.
I almost lost my media credential because of Emmitt. He's down in Miami passing out vodka, doing... Just got done doing, like, a Yahoo Sports or something. And he's like, here, take a shot of my vodka. And I'm like, I have a credential on. And Randy looks at me. He's like, do not drink that. Like, I was like, okay.
Emmett showed up. I've done a few things with Emmett, and he showed up at our Michael Bolton softball game. Now, I didn't know Emmett Smith was coming.
Oh.
So, you know, when I did these celebrity games, you know, I'd have a bunch of celebrities, you know, big name, you know, big name people. All of a sudden, a whole bus shows up, and I'm like, what is this? What's going on? You know, it's kind of like when you leave tickets for somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, you're so worried until the person gets into the concert or the game or whatever to make sure the tickets are there. So this bus pulls up. I have no idea what's going on. And it was like Emmett and Michael Irvin. And it was like 30 guys. I don't have jerseys for them. Like, yeah. I have jerseys with everybody's name and all that stuff. So I'll show you the pictures. They're sitting on the bench basically saying, where's our jersey? And then they ended up all leaving because I didn't have jerseys for them.
Wow. So, okay, funny story, right? I was watching this show called Curb Your Enthusiasm with Larry David. You ever seen it?
Yeah.
One, I've seen one episode.
Okay. So I was watching the show, and it was, I guess, like his daughter's boyfriend or whatever it is, comes in, and he's in the military, right? And so he comes in, and there's, like, a bunch of people in the room, and everybody's like, he's like, yeah, I just got back from my tour, yada, yada, yada. And everybody was like, oh, there was somebody was like, oh, hey, thanks for your service. You know, he shake hand. Right. Thank you for your service. You know, thank you for your service. And then it gets Larry, and he just sits there and just stares at him. And they're like, what? All three of you told him already. Why do I have to say it? And everybody's like, you're the worst. And like, where do you stand on that? I just thought it was pretty funny, like the whole situation.
Where do I stand with what?
I'm saying, like, how do you, like, do you feel like that is a necessary thing?
No.
Constantly?
No. You know, and I know this is going to be very hypocritical because I wear this Navy hat all the time.
Yeah.
I partly wear it because my dad wore his all the time. He was buried with it. You know, it's just my little connection to it. But I'm uncomfortable when people say it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, kind of like Meatloaf said. He just was a singer because that was his job.
Yeah.
You know, you're a football player.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's your job. Nobody owes me a thank you because I didn't know what to do with my life, so I went in the military and got very lucky and met my wife.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, I've always wondered, and I've asked people, and my wife asked somebody at the hospital once, how do you respond?
Yeah.
What do you say?
Exactly.
You know, my pleasure?
You're welcome.
Why?
I mean, obviously, we spend enough time together now. I don't feel like every time I see you, I have to say it.
Yeah.
But, like, I say it because I feel like that's what you're supposed to do. You know, like,
And if you don't like it, you're going to have a lot more thank yous because you now have a mission belt with a Navy.
Well, and the Navy. Well, I got them both. I get the so, flag, too.
So you're going to get it from two different angles, the hat and the belt.
No, I mean, you know, I'm very proud that I was in. I'm proud of everything I did, but I didn't do it for other people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't do it for the recognition either, but I'm saying I didn't do it. I did it for me. I did
it for the country. It's for the freedom.
Sure.
For the...
Sure.
For a paycheck.
Okay, your scariest memory from being in the Navy and, like, best memory from being in the Navy.
Scariest is the initiation of crossing the equator.
What is that?
Well, it's when we cross the equator. There is a
they tell you out?
It's a tradition.
You can't talk about
it. No, I'll talk about it. I mean, the Statue of Limitations is over and all that kind of stuff. It's crazy that, you know, but it's all hazing. I hate to use that word, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
And so the night before you cross, they're called polywogs. So the polywog is somebody who never crossed the equator. So the object is, on the night before, the polywogs do all sorts of crap to shellbacks, which are the people who've already crossed. Now, I'm smarter, and I think you know this, than most people. I'm not going to go screw with a shellback knowing that tomorrow they're going to retaliate.
Yeah.
There was the XO or an officer of our ship hid all night because he hadn't crossed yet. You know, so he really didn't want to do anything because the next day, you know, what was going to happen. But, you know, I had to crawl on my hands and knees throughout the whole length of the ship. Ooh. I had to get on my back. And what they did is they took the fire hose and they cut them into like 12-inch straps and they would hit you with it. Now, they're spraying you with the hose, so you're wet. Now you're getting slapped, you know, and it's supposed to be all in good fun, ugly hazing, whatever. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I might have already told you this. The worst part, not the scariest, but the worst part is you had to suck a cherry out of the largest human on the ship.
Yeah.
Out of his navel, which was pretty disgusting.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
You had to crawl through about a 12-foot chute of garbage, crap, literally, rotten stuff, you know, and you go through it. And when they pull you out, there's a big, like, pool. They pull you out, and they go, what are you? Now, you're supposed to, common sense, you're a shellback.
Mm-hmm.
This one poor guy kept saying, I'm a polywog. So they made him do it again. Oh. And then he did it again. What are you? A polywog.
So now, with that being said, how do you feel about ranks when it comes to hazing? Because Jim Allers, a few weeks ago, received his black belt.
I hate this.
And he did the walk through the dojo.
It's called a gauntlet.
Where they slap you with their belts, but white belts.
Yeah.
Novices.
I'm dead like, against that. I hate that. So
ranks below you are the ones whipping your back as you go through the gauntlet.
Huh. See, so, I'm against that.
So should there be a ranking order?
Absolutely.
Where only people above
absolutely.
You can
and that's what
haze
it,
you.
And that's what it was in the military, at least then. So when you made rank, and they would like, it's called frock your crow on. So like when I made third class, third and above would punch you.
Okay.
And sometimes they got, you know, they broke this one guy's arm because he was kind of a jerk. And,
yeah.
You know, so it can get carried away. But I think it's ridiculous for a white belt to slap a black belt to tag his black belt.
I have
on.
A white belt on, thanks yeah. to Mission Belts.
Yes, you do. All right, let's go hit a quick break. When we come back, a little BKFC talk. And then I'll answer your other question.
Oh, and also,
well.
I got a professional golfer fight on the golf course. I'll tell you about it after the break.
This is Knockout Radio, brought to you by 8 Man Strong and Staff Sub. Is Steve getting in an altercation?
Well, I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Earl Morrow, quarterback of the Colts and the Miami Dolphins during the championship years. And you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
What were you doing 10 years ago? For me, I founded the Tour de Pizza, Tampa Bay's only cycling-themed pizzeria, where we combine gourmet pizza with an active lifestyle. Home of the world-famous pizza diet? At Tour de Pizza, we truly have a pizza for everybody. Classic New York style, Chicago deep dish, whole wheat low carb, flaxseed millet grain-free, and cauliflower crust to name a few. Proudly serving the greater St. Petersburg area for the past decade and running. Two locations, one great pizza, that's Tour de Pizza.
Calling all Rocky Balboa fans, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. If you're a Breaking Bad fan or WWE or South Park, check out the sock collection available at oddsocksofficial.com. Scarface, Godfather, Back to the Future, and Jaws, and many others available at oddsocksofficial.com. Double Dare, SpongeBob, Street Fighter, and did I mention Rocky Balboa? All available at oddsocksofficial.com. That's odd, S-O-X, official.com. If you can't find a pair to wear, then why do you have feet?
This is Randy Harris for Mick for Hair at Got Split End Salon in Pinellas Park, our official hair care and grooming provider who caters to everyone, women, men, kids, and senior citizens in an affordable, upscale environment staffed with the most talented professionals in the business. Visit Mick for Hair at Got Split Ends today at 4376 Park Boulevard in Pinellas Park or call them at 727-290-9873.
You're hungry. Where do you go to eat?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
You want to have a drink? Where do you go?
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Having a get-together with the guys from the softball team? Where do you do it?
That's right. Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Located at 1320 Central Avenue, St. Petersburg, right across from Tropicana Field, Berg's is the best place to take the whole family for food and fun. Going to a Rays game? Have dinner before the game at Berg's, and after the Rays win, come and celebrate with all your friends at Berg's, right across from the Trop. So come down and see Berg and the whole gang at Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Berg Sports Bar and Grill.
Construction companies always face hiring challenges. Do you need temporary help on your project? Or maybe you want a true partner for all of your staffing needs? StaffZone is construction staffing excellence, providing both skilled and general labor positions. And we want to work for you. For all of your construction staffing needs, call us at 877-247-ZONE or visit us online at thestaffzone.com to find your local branch. Our staffing professionals are eager and ready to earn your business. That's 877-247-ZONE.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Brooks Robinson, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
All right, we are back coming to you live from the haunted podcast room here. We got kicked out of the open facility. We're in the podcast room here at the Orange County Convention Center, the PGA show going on. Real quick, I know Jared Warren's coming up momentarily. Give me your thoughts, Caleb, you know, and if you have to answer, Matt, you as well. Like, I know hazing isn't the right word to use anymore because of the politically correct blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. You know, whether it's the tradition, whether you want to call it hazing, whether you want to call it bonding, you know, whatever that is. Give me your thoughts on it. And was there that in college as well as, you know, when you got to the NFL?
Oh, definitely. College, not as much. I was in a little bit of our team was so young when I got to UCLA, and the people who were playing on the team were really young. Like, we had like 12 true freshmen starting. You know, I was lucky enough to be one of them. And so it wasn't quite as much in college, but definitely, like, from coaches in the league, it's big, you know, like, not as bad as it was. And I'm really okay with it, too. Like, I'm okay with the paying your dues. Like, it's necessary, I think. Like, it's a bonding thing. Like, people kind of want to see, like, how you are under pressure. That's really all it is. Like, they're trying to just check you out. You know, what are you made of? Like, are you going to crack at the earliest discomfort? Like, why in the military? I don't know from firsthand, but I'm saying, like, when they come in at 4 a.m. and wake you up, and you don't know when gunfire is going to start.
Yeah,
no. You don't know when that stuff's going to happen, right? I'm playing with the guy next to me. I want to see how he is. I want to know his personality. I want to know what makes him tick, how he cracks, and all that stuff to me is necessary.
You know, I think, and I know you and I have talked about this, I know that you can step over the line.
Yeah.
And we'll ask Jared as well, you know, with what he does, you know, for a living. You know, as long as you keep it semi-okay, you know, I mean, like the rookie stuff and paying for meals, it's paying your dues.
Yeah.
But it can be crazy, you know.
My whole thing is, as long as there's no disrespect involved,
right?
Go ahead. Don't disrespect me. And don't try to physically harm me, right? Obviously, there's like, when I say physically harm, I'm talking about like, you know, like really, really hurt me. You know what I'm saying? But like everything else, like get thrown in the cold tub, you know what I mean? Like stuff like that, like, yeah, just suck it up.
My grandfather and my uncle, and we'll get to Jared in 1 second, we're both past masters of a Masonic lodge in Philadelphia.
Wow, okay.
Now, you asked me what was the scariest thing I did in the military. At least I think that's what you said.
Yes. Scariest moment. You know,
going through, and anybody who has become a Mason, will that was the scariest thing I've ever done.
It's a pretty crazy thing, that Mason world. I mean, I've cooked for the Grand Wizard or whatever they call those people. Like the, you know, they have names like that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not going there.
They had a Grand Wizard come into the Masonic Lodge behind my restaurant. And I provided the meal for them, and it was a scary place to be. And they gave me a wooden nickel, and I had to bring it and redeem it. And then they opened up certain like opportunities, and it was a process.
If it wasn't for the Masons, though, who was the actor that was able to find all the hidden treasures there in Philadelphia?
Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, Nicolas Cage. Yeah. You know, that's all Masonic lad. Let's go to the phone lines. BKFC, what number is it this weekend?
I don't know. Well, it's in Jackson. It's on the 29th.
You don't know what number it is?
I don't know if it's a fight night. I don't know. They're changing it up. They're expanding.
Let's talk to Jared Warren. Jared, how are you?
Good. What's going on, guys?
Well, first and foremost, what number is it? Do you know?
They're not giving it a number. It is just a fight night.
Wow. Well, only because we know Jared this well. Did you just wake up? Are you okay?
What are you doing, Jared? Are you sleeping?
Dude, that's probably... most common question when I get on the phone with somebody, I just kind of have that voice. I mean, I'm not saying I'm not tired, but I do, like, I could be up for 12 hours and someone would be like, hey, man, did I just wake you up from a nap? So, my apologies.
So, tell me about, unfortunately, from what I understand, you've been on the back of the Jeep the last couple days. Tell me, what exactly does Matt do, and how do we get him to stop harassing you?
He basically just puts me through a bunch of punishment. The guy, you'll be like in the middle of doing a set and he'll punch you in the ribs and leave you
with that noodle. Yeah, but he punches you with the noodle.
Tell him, Jared.
Oh, no. He punched me with his wedding ring and left three nice bruises on my ribs.
I forgot to take my ring off. I'm throwing body shots, so he gets used to taking, you know, body shots in his fight coming up on Saturday. And I forgot I had my wedding ring on, so he's all cut up. And
whatever.
It's just part of the game.
All right, before we talk to you about your fight this weekend, we were talking about whether it's tradition, whether it's hazing, whatever word you want to use. In your line of work, was there any of that when you first, joined
the academy.
Well, no, it's when you leave the academy, I would assume, right?
Or get your station assigned.
Yeah, it's usually, when you first get hired on somewhere and when you're the rookie. But I know in my department it's pretty mild. I mean, it's mostly just minor practical jokes, nothing I would say over the top.
Caleb, I know that you're new into, this career, that we're all going to build together, but could you tell that he didn't want to answer the question?
Yeah, definitely. You can't let him in too much. I understand. For sure. It's one of those things you got to be there and experience it and, be a part of that, group.
You could have just said it's all top secret and you can't talk about it.
No, I mean, I'm fine with getting out the dirt. I don't have an interesting enough story to pass on, to be honest with you.
All right. Well, and again, since you're part of the family as well, you need to embellish it and make it up if you don't have a good story.
a really good story.
Yeah, how about it?
Is it true you only work out with me because my truck looks like a fire engine? We can put a hose on this.
For my own good, but you'll harass me if I try and put you off, so there's no reason to try.
Tell me about your opponent this weekend.
What do I know about him, man? He's a little shorter, a little stockier than me. He's 2-0 his first fight. He had a good knockout at his debut. His last fight, he was fighting a brand new guy that they brought in off the tryout. It went the full distance. He won fair and square, but just not a real impressive victory, in my opinion. BKFC reposted him doing a bench press. I guess he has a hell of a bench press, but fortunately for me, that doesn't matter.
I was gonna ask you that, Jared. What good is a bench press? It's kind of like Caleb when I asked you about how high you can jump when you're blocked. You're playing, on the offensive line. What does that prove that he can push weights up and down?
Literally nothing in the fight game. I mean, I just I kind of break it down in my head. I was like, all right, bench press. You got your back braced against something. You're using like slow twitch muscles to slowly move in and out. We're fighting. You have nothing behind you. You're trying to be explosive and fast. I don't know. But I guess maybe it was a cool picture that they decided to repost for whatever reason.
when you're in the middle of a fight, can you hear the crowd? Can you see the crowd? Or is everything just so focused? It's almost like a cloud and all you see is, the squared circle and maybe the opponent.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't see the crowd. But most people don't realize, unless you've actually, competed yourself, how bright the lights are when you're actually in the ring. Very comparable to somebody being on stage. You don't see the audience. It's dark out there. Once in a while, you'll hear somebody when it's, something that kind of stands out aside from regular cheering and ahs and oohs when people get hit, but for the most part I am focused and I tend to only hear my coach's voice in the background and just watching the opponent.
Matt just showed me a photo and I'm curious if you've reached out to an attorney yet and if you're gonna file some kind of harassment suit.
What's the photo of?
I showed the photo of your my ring marks on your obliques as you're doing the GNAT midair, suspended. gotta toughen them up.
For that one, it was out of love.
I have a question for you. Is there a lot of film study that you do going into the fights? Do you do a lot of study on your film study on your opponent, or do you kind of just feel it out when you're in there?
I wouldn't say a lot. I would since he does have two fights in BKFC, I watch those, but I don't put a lot of time into it. I just kind of always, look at it for, a rough draft because a lot of people, change their style in between fights, get better, whatever. I tend to look at tendencies, but other than that, I don't overthink it. Yeah, I mean, I kind of more worry about what I'm going to do as opposed to what they're going to do.
Have you displayed his photo in your bathroom wall like Rocky Balboa did with Clubber Lang?
Nope. When I'm home, that's me time. I like to relax and not think about killing as much.
Do you ever get excited? You know, and I don't just mean in general or when you're on this, you know, the radio show, but, you know, like when you're in a fight, you know, do you get excited about you're doing it, or you just always, I mean, obviously we know you very well, but does the fight game excite you? Does knowing that you're competing this weekend excite you?
It does. It hasn't hit me yet in the, you know, way of like, you know, I got the pre-fight tingles or anything like that. I'm still kind of my normal day-to-day right now. You know, when it gets around weigh-ins, it'll start to pick up, and then a little more actual fight night. But yes, I'm sure it does excite me, and that's kind of like one of the things that keeps me doing it, because honestly, like, I don't know, like on a, you know, kind of an adrenaline side or whatever you want to call it, it's easy to become like immune to things. So it's kind of like you got to almost like step your game up and do something more fun. And I haven't gotten burnt out on fighting yet. And I feel like of all the different styles I've done, bare knuckle is definitely the most exciting to me. So I definitely get some enjoyment out of it.
What corner will you be in this weekend?
We're in the red corner. I got my shoes on. I was in the red corner.
You know, they actually haven't told me yet. I kind of have a feeling it'll be red corner, because usually blue corner is reserved for the hometown boys, if there is one. And I don't think he's out of Mississippi, but he's definitely closer there than I am. So I gut feeling he's red this time.
So normally I would say that that's better, because, you know, if Matt was in the other corner, then you're looking across and you're seeing him and all that kind of stuff. So this way Matt will be behind you, but will you be able to block out the sweet nothings he's going to be whispering into your ear?
I'll make a solid attempt, but I doubt it.
If Jihad, your coach, shows up out dressing me again, I'm fighting that dude. Because last time he showed up with a 3-piece suit, a watch that matches his chain. I mean, that guy was like decked out, and I go fly.
Yeah,
that's what I'm about to say. I doubt that anybody's out dressing. You might go in there with the fight gear on.
Yeah, you know what? I might be. Do you have an extra pair of shorts, Jared? I'm coming in.
I can bring you a set.
Jared, and you know Matt fairly well, but let me tell you two stories. So story number one, we're going to go to a charity event up in, I think it was up towards Innisbrook, Palm Harbor, a tennis event. And some legend was there by the name of
John McEnroe.
This clown shows up in tennis, you know, gear. You know, he brings his tennis racket. He brings everything. Like, he's going to play John McEnroe tennis at this event.
John McEnroe is going to play me.
Then we go to a golf thing, and he shows up with golf cleats and golf bags. He goes, yeah, I'm going to hit the links. I'm going to play today. So you know, and I know better than the joke, because he may end up in the ring. And I'm going to tell you another story.
I'll bring my gloves.
So we're in Tampa. I don't remember which BKFC it was. And Matt's wife says to me, so where are you sitting at the fights tomorrow? I don't know if I told you this, Kayla. So I said, I'm sitting inside, you know, in the VIP area. It's kind of my deal with David Feldman. And she goes, where is Mateo sitting? And I said, well, Matt's going to be all the way in the very back of the building, because if I put him with me, he's going to end up in the ring. And that's when Matt got the job with Billboard Mats, and he ended up in the ring the whole night.
Red corner. I'm at every event. In fact, Warren sat in my seat, and I had a better view than Randy. I had a better view than Warren.
That's awesome.
So, just crazy.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. We're a couple days out. Do you try not to think about that you're going to be in a fist fight this weekend? Do you try to, you know, think about nonstop? You know, there is no tomorrow again, kind of like the Rocky Balboa thing. You know, which do you try to do? Think about it or kind of not think about it?
I just kind of let it flow as naturally. Like, I don't get nervous by thinking about it. So, you know, fighting, you know, whether I have a fight coming up or not, it's usually on my mind, because it is something that I enjoy. So I do think about it often, but there's times that, you know, goes by hours and hours, and I'm just kind of like focused on my thing. Like today I'm doing a lot of last minute getting things together before I fly out tomorrow. But no, I kind of let it come, because I think when people try and block it out, kind of ends up biting them. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
If you're not used to that, you know, a little bit of a either nervous or a pre-anxiety, you know, feeling, then when it hits you all at once, when it's fight night, then it could overwhelm you. Whereas, you know, you take it bit by bit whenever you think about it naturally, kind of like I said with the adrenaline thing, you kind of build up an immunity to it and it doesn't affect you as much.
So I remember asking my grandfather, who was on the police force in Philadelphia for 20 plus years, and he would always tell me that he didn't like and he didn't like to watch police TV, you know, series and dramas and such. What is your thought on, you know, like Chicago PD or Chicago Fire or any of that stuff?
The only one that I watched and liked was Rescue Me, the one with all I always forget his name, the red haired
Dennis Miller.
Dave something.
Wasn't it Dennis Miller?
What's his name?
Was the blonde haired guy though?
No, I thought it was Dennis Miller.
I don't remember his name, but I remember he had blonde hair. I know you're talking about on FX some years ago.
He's like a ginger. Yeah, he's got like reddish blonde hair.
Yeah. Gotcha.
He's a comedian or whatever. But yeah, that one I liked because it was funny. But yeah, I think kind of like, you know, most professions I ended up having their own show. They get so embellished to actually make it, you know, enjoyable that when you've seen the real side of it, you're like, well, that's not real.
What about Backdraft? Yeah, that was a great movie.
Boring show.
Seen that.
Huh? Backdraft. It was Dennis Leary, not Dennis Miller. Okay. It was Dennis Leary.
Leary, yes. Yeah, so that's the guy.
Have you ever had to put out, like, one of those ginormous fires that you see in the movies? Because I feel like I don't see a lot of fires anywhere. Maybe it's because I'm not noticing. But I'm sure they happen all the time, you know? So, like, when you're working, has there ever been one of those, you know, ones that it's like, oh, man, this is like a... You know, this is a big one. We gotta all hands on deck kind of thing.
Yeah, the biggest one that comes to mind was a plantain factory building. And we got the initial call out like in the early afternoon, and they thankfully send in a crew to like relieve us at like 3 a.m. So we can kind of like go back and eat and rehydrate and stuff. But yeah, that one was gone for close to a day. And then aside from that, the worst ones, and I've had several of them, are like storage warehouse fires, because like it starts in one person's little cube and it just hops to the next one and the next one. And those things are usually so tightly packed that it just takes forever to put them out. You got to pull everything out and freaking soak it down. And it's just like, it goes on for days sometimes.
So Jerry, why do they take the fire poles out of the stations?
Because they're dicks and they don't want us to have fun.
That's the best answer ever.
I don't know if it's set for FCC, but it was still great. A funny answer.
That's funny. Has anybody ever dropped a baby to a fire station?
Interesting. Jared, did you hear that?
I think realistically, they figured out that, you know, there might be 1 or 2 seconds difference of speed of someone flying down a pole or going down a stairway, but there's the less chance of someone just falling down the stairs. Like, there's the pole at, like, 3 or 4 in the morning when you get up to your 16th call.
All right, Jared, I have to ask, when there was a fire pole there, did you ever, before you leaped onto it, say, Batman, and then slide down it?
You know, like, I'm trying to think. I've barely even experienced that because, around Tampa, Florida, everything is kind of like one story. So most of the stations never had to begin with. One of my stations did originally have it. But honestly, it was before my time, before they change it. I've been on about 12 years now, and I think they've been out of the stations for, you know, 20 plus at this point.
Yeah, I would have definitely have thought Batman is it. And then try to, you know, do it the circle so that, you know, your clothes change, mm-hmm. you know, by the time you hit the bottom.
Yep.
But Jared, before we let you go, give me your thoughts. Give me your thoughts on the fight. You know, what can the fans expect, whether they're in Jackson or they're watching on the app?
I can guarantee an exciting fight. I don't think it'll go the distance. That's kind of a low losing bet there because, I mean, I would say probably 90% of bare knuckle fights don't go to the decision. But I like to go out and get after it myself. I feel like you get paid more, you know, by the second when you break it down of finishing a fight early instead of going the full five rounds. So just expect something explosive and everyone's going to enjoy it. I don't care who you are. Like, you can't not enjoy these kind of fights.
Let me ask you this before I let you go, and I don't want to start any, you know, controversy, and I'm not asking you why, but is it better for you personally to fight outside of Tampa? Obviously, BKFC was here in Tampa not too long ago. Is it better for you to get out of your hometown and fight somewhere else, or would you have rather fight locally?
I usually enjoy the hometown, you know, because I usually get a good number of people who will come support me, and, you know, the crowd really gets behind you and stuff. That being said, though, it's definitely less stressful to fight out of town, because when you're at home, like, kind of, you know, part of your deal as a fighter is you got to, you know, distribute and sell and get these, you know, get your tickets to your friends and family and stuff. And sometimes that's a pain whenever you're trying to, you know, train, stay ready and do all the other stuff you got to do. When you go out of town, you're going out of town. You don't got to get tickets for anybody. But that being said, you know, I know you guys know Martin Brown. He's going to be, you know, one of my guys in my corner, and he's a Mississippi boy, and they know that we're coming there. So I think we're going to kind of get a little bit of a hometown town welcome just by association. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Well, cool. Well, we're looking forward, you know, to watching. I'll be watching on the app. Matt will be, like I said, whispering sweet nothings into your ear, you know, in between rounds. And have you seen the mat? Have you seen your face on the mats yet?
Actually, I did just see a picture of one. I think last night someone put it up, and I saw a picture. I was like, cool, finally made it on the old billboard mat.
There you go. Very cool. Jared, thank you very much for your time. We're going to send you another care package from 8 Man Strong, as well as a box from Odd Sock Official for spending some time and hanging out, as always.
Awesome, man. I appreciate you guys' time, and thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you again soon.
See you Saturday.
Right. Jared Warren back in it. I didn't want to bring it up while he was still on because I'm sure he's tired of talking about it, but he's literally killed someone in a ring.
No way.
Yeah, literally killed somebody.
A back kick. He threw us like a heel kick and kicked him in the sternum and actually went into cardiac arrest. And then
now my wife says that's not true because they didn't die. So yeah. You didn't kill him if they didn't die. They brought him back. But
his heart stopped.
He was, he was flatlined.
Goodness gracious.
They almost did it again with like a left hand when he knocked out Zion.
Something on your resume.
Yeah, there you go.
And Zion didn't
firefighter
move
that kills people.
You know, so. You talk about how violent sports are, and then, you know, this guy literally kills somebody.
But talk about the ticket aspect. You know, Jared, you know, I want to ask Kayla about tickets in the NFL, like friends, family hitting you up all the time. Like, how many do you get? Like, you have access to them?
We buy all our tickets. We don't get it. That's a myth that people think, like, oh, yeah, like, let me get some tickets. I'm like, okay, like, they're expensive. Like, you know, we get comped too, but it's also based on the game. Like, some games it might be $90 for the comp, some games it might be $250. So, like, when Tampa came into town and played the Saints, I think it was Sunday night or whatever it was, and it was like $250 each for tickets. So my friends were like, oh, hey, I want 5 tickets. So I'm like, okay. So it's a rack. So who's paying?
Wow. So you don't have like a you know, section or, you know.
Well, the family section. There is a section. Oh, but you have to pay for the tickets.
For it, you know?
Oh, wow.
You know, and then some guys, if like you know you're going to have tons of family coming every week, they'll go and get a box. Because instead of me spending $3,000 a week, I'll spend the $40,000 for the year and have a box that my family can go to and watch the games. And so, you know, when you make a little bit more money, some guys like to go and do that. So, yeah, but, you know, you pay for them. We pay for all those.
Well, and it's not even when you make a little more money. There was a concert that came to Orlando, and a bunch of people wanted to go to the concert. So I got a box.
Yeah.
You know, if you take the 10 tickets and divide, you know, by 10, it's $10 more than sitting in the crowd having to stand and all that. And I'm like, no, let's do the box.
Yeah.
You know, which is which was cool. All right, let's go hit our final break of the afternoon. And I'm not going to keep harping on coming to you live from the podcast booth here at the PGA show. But more importantly, and Steve is out doing his due diligence to finding out what drive-thru we're going to hit on the way home, because we definitely need some food. So you guys think about that as we hit this break. When we come back, we'll have to come up with a new segment, you know, Caleb's Thoughts or something like that. You know, just where he can give us thoughts and what's going through his mind at this point in time.
I have a bunch of random ones, so.
We'll be right back.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, Tampa, this is Terrell Owens, and you're talking sports with Randy Harris.
8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong.
The Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, roars through the streets of beautiful downtown St. Petersburg, February 25th to the 27th. Tickets are on sale now at gpstpete.com. It's fast, fun, family entertainment, jam-packed into all 3 days. 10 races in all are on the weekend schedule. The big NTT IndyCar Series race takes the green flag on Sunday afternoon. It all happens at the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg, presented by RP Funding, February 25th to the 27th. Get your tickets at gpstpete.com.
We will once again broadcast from Radio Row in the upcoming Super Bowl, and very excited to announce that our home base will be the Hyatt House in Anaheim. The Hyatt House is located near Angel Stadium, Disneyland, and the Honda Center, and a short drive from LAX. They also provide free breakfast. Yes, please. From the suites with kitchens or the bunk beds for the kids, they have many options for your experience. Check out these reviews from previous guests. One reviewer said the location was just perfect, while another said the hotel was great and staff was friendly. If you're headed to visit Anaheim or the LA area, you'll want to call the Hyatt House at Convention Center, your home base as well.
Country Depot, located at 36 North Broad Street in historic downtown Brooksville, could be the coolest store on planet Earth. From home and garden decor, handbags, and sports items, Country Depot carries a very large variety of unique gifts like nautical, primitive, country, and much more. Follow them on Facebook at Country Depot and stay tuned to Knockout Radio for details on how to register to win a $50 gift certificate. It's called Country Depot in Brooksville and worth the drive. How would you like to be like Jorge Masvidal, Dustin Poirier, Daniel Cormier, Joe Rogan, me, and many, many others? You could also own an amazing painting from Ross Baines Art. Ross paints original canvas art, including custom commission work. There is nothing Ross Baines can't paint. Ross was commissioned to paint the Masvidal flying knee mural on the ATT gym wall as well. Hang a painting in your house or office of your favorite athlete, actor, pet, family, sunset, you get the idea. Check out his amazing talent on the online store at rossbainesart.bigcartel.com and join the Ross Baines Art owner family. Follow Ross today on Twitter at Ross Baines Art.
Got bills? Looking for work, but nobody is hiring? StaffZone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, StaffZone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today, get paid today. That's the StaffZone way.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
The Macho Man Randy Savage, and when I want to catch up on all the sports, I listen to the Randy Harris Show. That's the bottom line.
Before we get out of here, yes. I know that we were going to have
Mission Loomis.
Yeah, Lucas Mission Belts. From Mission Belts, and they got tied up, which is great.
It's awesome.
I'm glad that they are busy.
They are very busy.
But we stopped by today. And, you know, it's kind of like watching Shark Tank because they were on Shark Tank.
Yes.
And I believe they got a deal with Damon John. Is it John or Johns?
Johns.
Damon Johns?
Maybe John.
I don't know. That's why I asked you.
There's two of them. If there's more than one.
If there's more than one, it's an S, so it's Johns.
Yeah.
So even if his name is Damon John, we're going with Johns?
Johns.
Okay. So they made a deal with Damon John. And, you know, like they always talk about, you know, it's a product, not a business. Well, every year when we see these guys here, they have different belts. Like the belt that you and I got is killer.
It's amazing.
You know, it's so different. It's just not a solid color, you know, which are awesome. I have the pink. I have the red. I have the orange. You finally started your jiu-jitsu and you got a white.
I got a white belt. No stripes. That's where I like it. Don't let them see it coming. Fly under the radar.
I wonder. I need to ask David Vieira. You know, I got my third stripe 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Now, if I haven't trained since then,
starting over.
Am I still a three-stripe white belt?
No way.
Really? I got to start over?
All the way back. I know, and I know it's disrespectful, but I would take my promotions off. I would take the tape off because I didn't want anybody to know what I know. So I would like, so my belt still is perfect. There's nothing on it.
I want to invite you real quick. Yeah. I know you have a question, but I want to personally invite you when I take this Putz to my right to the gym where they're going to he's going to attempt to grapple with David Vieira.
Okay.
Who is a friend of mine from Brazil who has won Abu Dhabi.
Wow.
Who is a bad, bad dude.
The biggest mistake I made was tapping out a three-stripe blue belt in Brazil in a jiu-jitsu room, and then the whole world stopped, and then it was from black belts on for the rest of the night, and I got beat. I got beat. Talk about hazing. I was beaten, and I learned my lesson. I will let David do whatever he wants because I'm not going
through that. No. You need to. It'll just be the four of us. So
inside a podcast booth?
Inside a podcast. Yeah. We brought Randy Couture into the gym, and I'm driving Randy back to the hotel. And I know we have a few minutes left, so I'll tell it real quick, and then he asked the question. So Randy goes, you know, your guy had me. I go, what do you mean? He goes, yeah, your guy had me. David had him, could have had him, but would never do it.
Yeah.
Because out of respect, he came to our gym. When I came back, David beat the living crap out of his assistant, who tried to tap Randy Couture. And couldn't, but he tried.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, you don't the respect and disrespect, and I can't wait to watch David tear you up into a new pretzel.
Speaking of disrespect, like on golf courses, there's etiquette. There's no talking during someone's backswing. There's golf claps, which are very quiet, where you can really not really tell that you're celebrating. And back in the day, Austin Daly, no relation to John Daly, who I spent the Outback Bowl with when his Arkansas Razorbacks won the Outback Bowl. But Austin Daly and Luke Smith, two players at Korn Ferry Tour event, reportedly exchanged blows on the seventh hole after Daly apparently asked Smith for his help searching for lost balls in an effort to speed up group play. So there was allegedly started throwing punches because of their quest of cheating and ball placement.
I have won. And I want to do this quick because I want to answer whatever your question was. So I would put together these foursomes and sometimes fivesomes when it was a celebrity and win these tournaments. You know, I'm awful. But if I brought Steve Monroe or I brought Jay Nash, who was a golf pro down in Sarasota, or he was the former, and my brain's not remembering his name, he passed away. He was the color commentator of the Blue Jays. John Cerruti, who was from Safety Harbor. So we would always go out and dominate these tournaments. But two of my guys got in a fist fight on the golf course because one used one of those viewfinders, which you can't use on a PGA tour.
Really?
Yeah, you can't use those on a tour.
Why?
Because I guess they're not allowed.
All these booths are like viewfinders.
But these aren't
like digital.
But these aren't PGA.
Yeah, these guys aren't.
Yeah.
Nobody here is playing. He's going to be on the tour anytime soon.
You know, these are just ham and eggers, you know, hackers that are out there. And one guy was using it, and the other guy got pissed. He's like, what are you talking about? This isn't a PGA tour. You know, same with golf clubs. Like, Steve Monroe would never be able to use the golf club that he drives with in a PGA event.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's juiced.
Really?
Yeah.
How do you juice a club?
What? They can do things to it. Like, my clubs are juiced. They like, froze them, which added something to the club.
Mm.
But he uses, you know, and it's different. Long drive is different. Yeah. So you don't have to have.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Man, I got to get one of those clubs. I go to Top Golf and look like a stud. Round of drinks on me if I hit it 400 yards.
But back to the, golf being a sport, right? What kind of sport can the fans not talk? Why do I have to be quiet?
Well, I agree.
Yeah, why can't I? Come on, let's go. Yeah, look,
you know when Tiger gets all mad and stuff, it's like, who? What?
Yeah, like, what are you like? You, I come here and just shut up and watch? No, I'm not at the movies.
Well, I'm okay if you talk during the movies because I'm not going to tell you to shut up.
Yeah, it's a sporting event, man. Like, let's cheer. Like, home field advantage, you know.
That's Happy
Gilmore. Have more fans than I do.
Oh, like during a free throw, you hear all kind of crazy stuff.
Yeah, dudes are like, yelling.
All
so
fans are like,
well, a football game.
Yeah,
go play on the road.
Exactly. You can't even. I can't hear my buddy to the next to the left. I'm gonna tell him shut up.
Just that viral video of Harden getting disgusted because like KD was like taking these practice shots and he like wasn't throwing the free throw and like Harden is like, oh, that's ridiculous. Just made him wait.
One of the stupidest things I've ever seen in my life. All right, and talking about, you know, some of those plays that happened in the NFL over the past couple of weeks about just repetition. You know, that's why in spring training, you know, you hit the two-hopper to the pitcher and he turns and he throws to first base. I never realized this till I went to a Magic game to, who did we go see? It was Westbrook, I think. And, you know, when they're practicing, you know, they're warming up and they shoot the free throw, mm-hmm. they practice high-fiving each other.
Mm.
Why do they do it? It's not that they practice, it's just they do it.
Yeah, like a ritual almost.
But it's practice. Why are you high-fiving? You just made the fake free throw before the game.
I think it's one of those things, it's just like habit. Like you just naturally, we did it. And it's just almost kind of like a habit thing. Like it's just, we're creatures of habit, man. Athletes, especially at the pro level, like it's a lot of that.
Do you have any superstitions? Because I know like a lot of guys have certain things that are, when it's working, you don't change.
So I used to, for a long time, only wear white cleats because I felt that I was faster in them. So for like some years, like that was like my thing, but I'm past that now. It doesn't bother me anymore. But that was my one thing I would say. Like, I was like, I have to wear white cleats. One slow and black cleats.
An offensive lineman once told me, and I don't remember what the number was, but he felt svelte in a certain number.
Yeah.
Are there numbers that make you feel slimmer?
70s, you know? Now you can wear 50s, you know, like definitely, like you feel like you look a little bit better. I don't know why that stuff matters, but it does. Like even like guys would be like, oh, you know, let me pull my waistband up, you know, I can't look fat on TV. Like nobody wants to be out there, you know, like we played the Seahawks on Thursday night, I believe, or Monday. I don't remember which one it was. But you know, we had the black pants and we had a white jerseys. And we're like, oh man, we're about to look terrible on TV on the offensive lineman. It's like it's Muffin Top Central right there. So you think about all that stuff, man. It's silly, but it's fun.
No, I mean it's part of. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean I totally get it. It is silly, but it's not silly. It's just what gets you through the day and through the night. And it's supposed to be fun. Work is supposed to be fun, no matter what you do for a living.
Yeah.
Whether it's pretend to make pizza, you know, a radio show, football, baseball, hockey. The non-sport of golf.
Yeah.
and so forth.
I'm going to get all the DMs talking about, I don't know what I'm talking about.
Before I get your picks, and I know we only have like 2 minutes or so, give us the update on Tournament de Pizza.
Should be open.
By the way, that's your restaurant.
It is my restaurant, opening in the tennis club. It's funny, people who golf also play tennis, so it's kind of the same people. private member club, but open to the public, opening on Monday.
Good.
Come by. Awesome. Check it out.
Give me your thoughts this weekend. We're down to the Final Four.
Yeah. I have the Chiefs beating the Bengals. I think that's going to be – I think they're going to win by, I say, 10 points. I think Joe Burrow is really, really good, but I think the Chiefs have too much heat. And the Rams, who are the Rams playing again? The Niners.
49ers.
I think the Stafford gets over the hump, gets his first Super Bowl. I think the Rams have lost to the Niners now, what, the last two or three times they've played, and I think he takes them over the hump because the last game that they played, they were up, and I think they didn't need the game, so they kind of eased up and like, let's just get out this game healthy. But I think coming off that win against Brady, I think they're gonna get to the Super Bowl.
Isn't it crazy? 56, right? Mm-hmm. So 54 Super Bowls that never happened. The 55th Super Bowl, Tampa plays at home, and now it appears like the 56th, the same thing will happen.
That's what it's looking like. So it's gonna be great, and that's gonna be a phenomenal game, man. That's going to be a phenomenal game if it happens that way.
Yeah.
I'm excited, man. The NFL is chugging along right now. Looking good.
Your picks before we're out of time? We have a minute.
I think the Rams and the Bengals.
The Bengals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bengals, wow.
Okay.
Okay. So.
See, he's smart for doing that because he looks like a genius if it happens.
Yeah.
And we already know he doesn't know what he's talking about, so it doesn't matter, right?
I know where Ocho Cinco's training. I'm going to go get him, put him back in. And
wasn't he the one who would always tweet, like, hey, I need a ride to Target. Pick me up, and I'll buy your groceries.
Yeah.
And all that stuff,
well,
which was cool.
He lived at the facility for like 2 years until they kicked him out. Yeah, but he was living for rent free.
Yeah, he's a very interesting person. I love listening to him.
Would
talk.
You ever live at $1 for free? Or
no, I'm not living at $1.
You know, I almost had a job
I'm
like
not
that.
Living at $1.
Really?
Yeah, when I was bat boy for the Cardinals, I was offered like an equipment job, you know, in the organization, and you basically live there. You know, especially when you're in the minor leagues and you're making very little money, and you know that's how you save money.
I would live in some of these college facilities. Now, those things are nice.
I toured a pizza. I'm gonna have an apartment upstairs. They're building out a space for me to live. And
you imagine? Describe real quick. We only have a minute, but how big is the size of the room that we're in right now?
6 feet by 4 feet.
No, 24 by
3,
10.
6,
24
9, 12, 24, 36. this is about 36, maybe 44 dudes would live in this area on a ship.
Wow.
No chance.
Yes.
Never.
Racks three high. You know, yeah.
That's why we thank you for your service. Yeah. Exactly. I can't do it. I'm not doing it.
I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to thank Jared. Best of luck to him. Big stuff coming up. We'll be at the Tournament to Pizza in a couple weeks. We'll be at the Super Bowl in two. Very happy to move Matt either further down the line, as now the new co-host is Caleb. And Matt's the co. So change that on your Instagram.
Got it.
See everybody next week. That kitty little noogie in a nice night little shave. I gave Susie a little pat up on the booty and she turned around and said, walk this way. I was born in a brain. Mama said that every word was on my name. This is the Tan Talk Radio Network. Matt Millen down in Tampa, you're talking sports with Randy Harris. Got bills? Looking for work? But nobody is hiring. Staff Zone is. As the leading provider of commercial construction, industrial, and special event staffing throughout the Southeast and Texas, Staff Zone has plenty of work to go around, and they need you now. Don't wait. Go now to www.thestaffzone.com and find a branch closest to you. Work today. Get paid today. That's the Staff Zone way. 8-Man Strong is not simply about the biggest or strongest. It's about those who have survived true lows, suffered, faced demons real or in their heads, and are fighting to come back against it all. If you live with a passion for greatness and strength and resilience towards all obstacles that may attempt to derail you, if you are bold and aggressive in the pursuit of the things you want in life, if you are meant to overcome everything that stands in your path of reaching your goals, then you are 8-Man Strong. WTAN Clearwater FM 106.1 WDCF Dade City FM 102.3 WZHR Zephyr Hills FM 104.3 Listen.